His power, that he says he has power to deliver from sin, to forgive sin, to remit it, to make us free, then that is all true. And by prayer we can obtain all those things. But if he's not risen, it's just a bunch of rules that you might try to follow and probably not do a very good job of. I used to associate with a group called Atheists for Jesus. Not that I've ever been an atheist, but close. And they were of the mindset that when Paul says, if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain, they didn't like that because they thought the moral teachings of Jesus were excellent. And I say, that may be true, but to perform. This is one thing I can't stomach about moralistic atheists, is because moralistic atheists are the ultimate holier-than-thous. They're better than other people, and the reason they're better than other people is because they're better than other people. God didn't give them anything that would make them morally superior. They don't have God to thank. They have their own moral superiority to thank, because they are of a stronger nature, or of a more, you know, or that they put forth the effort. And they have very little sympathy for people who struggle to be righteous, who struggle to do good, to whom doing evil is more natural than doing good. They don't understand us, and therefore have very little sympathy. People who are moralistic atheists, I find to be really tiresome. The message of Jesus isn't about stir it up within yourselves to do good, though I think that's always admirable. Yes, we should strive to do good on our own. But the thing is, you deny the power. Having forms of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Your form of godliness will never reach the level I'm interested in, which is perfection. And you may think, well, perfection isn't necessary. If I can just avoid the greatest evils, well, then if that satisfies you, then you're satisfied. I'm quite certain you're not even listening. Because to get this far into one of my Bible studies, unless this happens to be where you pick it up, you could not be of that mindset. The resurrection of the dead is the most important aspect, especially with regards to the resurrection of Jesus, of Christianity. Those who are dead in Christ will rise again. All the dead will rise again. Jesus Christ proved it, and as I always say, we have the linens that they speak of, that were piled there, the linen clothes that Peter beheld, we have them. Now, Peter didn't notice anything about him. He would have seen blood and smudges. You don't really notice the body image until you stand back. That's the thing about the Shroud of Turin, is that from close up, it's very difficult. Just like if you get really close to any image. I remember in one of those kids' magazines when I was a kid, you know, they'd have close-ups of things. What is it? A butterfly's wing. What is it? You know, everyday objects seen up close. You can't tell what it is. And the same thing with the shroud is that you have to, because it is a monumental object. I mean, it's 14 feet long. It's a full double side, you know, it's a cloth that was stretched the length of a man's body and then folded over and down the back. It totally wrapped him from, you know, like draped over the head. It's a 14 foot long piece of cloth. And to see the body image on it, you have to get back of it. You have to hang it flat and look at it. And the thing is, it's not likely at that moment they were thinking, let's look at the cloth and see if there are any miraculous marks or anything. And he would have seen blood in the cloth. His main concern would have been that, well, Jesus isn't in the cloth anymore. He wouldn't be like, let's inspect the cloth for scientific evidence. So it took some time. Obviously, at some point, someone looked at it and saw the face probably and was like, whoa! There's a face, and then they maybe checked it out and like, whoa! But that was some time later. I don't know exactly when. And at that point, it might have been decided to keep it quiet. Because whenever there is some, like when Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead, they immediately sought to try to kill Lazarus. Because men are wicked. They want to destroy evidence, destroy things that prove their worldview incorrect. Maybe someday people want to attack the shroud. They have, I think, in the past. wanted to destroy it. It's foolish. Christ, you can destroy the shroud, but Christ is still going to return. He still is raised from the dead. It's our loss. God is not harmed. But it's our loss if something like that is lost. If something like that is destroyed, we lose. All the unbelievers are the ones who lose, especially. Because the thing that could have helped them come to faith is taken away. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, about 8 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I think it's interesting that it says they saw a vision of angels. That also could account for the difference in what people saw. Because some of the experience could have been totally visionary. Meaning one woman standing there, her eyes fixed on two angels. And another one sees one. And, you know, there could have been 20 angels there for all we know, but only a couple are revealed. I mean, I don't know what the nature of all these things is. I'm an ignorant man. But they knew his body was not in the tomb. And now he's walking with them. Those are the parts I really believe. I want to attain